Our text this morning, Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. And Jesus spake this parable unto those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like these other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Good morning, church family. Happy Sabbath. It's starting to feel like spring. Do you like that? I've really enjoyed the last few days. It's been wonderful. God has been good to us here in Sutherland. What do you say? Have you been blessed by the Lord this week? Have you seen Him moving in your life? Have you heard Him answer prayer? Yeah. So today, we can expect to meet with Him again. Because it's a special day. It's actually like a high Sabbath. Because we have communion today. A day to rejoice in a very special way. Before we begin, I ask if you please bow your head with me as I kneel and pray. Loving Father, we thank you that you have invited us into your house on this Sabbath day, a day you set aside that we may hear your voice in a special way. But today, Lord, it's special because we will be reflecting upon an upper room experience. We will be reflecting upon the gift of your Son. We will be reflecting upon eternal life. Father, we ask that your Spirit will come down today in a special way, touch our hearts. The words that I share, Lord, mean nothing unless you are here to impress upon the heart as we read from your word. We need you here, Lord. And you said to ask, and we shall receive. So I thank you for your presence. May your angels draw near to us and speak to our hearts in a very special way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The wooden cross has decayed into dust. The nails have been long lost. The crown of thorns, it was not preserved. And the cup containing his precious blood has not been kept. Only one memorial of Jesus' death has been left for us, and that is the Lord's Supper. He has said unto us, do this, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. The night before he died, Jesus set up his own memorial. And I'm glad that he did not commission a monument to be built where we would have to travel to, where we'd have to stand in lines that was guarded to come and commune with him. I'm glad that he didn't commemorate a shrine to be built somewhere in the Middle East, that only those that were well enough, only those that were wealthy enough, could travel there and have communion with him. No, friends, rather, he ordained the Lord's Supper. And he said, where two or three are gathered, I am there with you. And we can experience a special blessing. He said, remember me. We live in a day and age where memory seems to evade us. Does it not? I don't know about you, but it seems like even when I was in my 20s, I would forget things. And as you get older, it multiplies. So he instituted this so that we would remember. Because we're prone to wander from the God we love. We're prone to forget his commandments and what he has told us to do. Paul urged Timothy in Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You know, the incarnation of the Son of God is the theme of Christianity. When you contemplate the fact that Christ, King of the universe, God of all creation, condescended, left all that was glory and beautiful and bliss, and took on humanity that he might relate to you and me, that he would live a life of suffering and pain, and in the end die a violent death so that we could have life, so that we could have victory, so that we could have hope. It's amazing what he has done for us. The Lord's Supper brings our wandering eyes back to Christ on his cross. The service is kind of a looking glass for all Christian teaching. You see, it offers the strongest appeal to gaze upon him, the Lamb of God, who has shed his blood for you and me. Zechariah 12:10 says this, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. And they shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his only son. You see, there is in the celebration of the supper a coming to. It confronts us with our own lost condition as we meditate upon the cross and what it means. And it directs us back to our spiritual roots. As we contemplate the Lord crucified, the confused, the disgruntled, the guilt-laden, the sorrowful are invited to make their way back to the foot of the cross. It is here, as they behold the one that has done all for them, that it begins to affect their heart. Has the cross touched your heart, friends? Has it moved you to surrender all to him? Has it compelled you to serve him? You see, the Pharisee in the scriptures that we just read, when he came into the temple, his eyes wasn't focused on the cross. His eyes were focused on his self-righteousness. His eyes were focused on other people. He was looking at faults of others. He was comparing himself with them. The enemy was tempting, as he does many of us, to look at where people come short, where they are not quite in harmony with Christ. And instead of looking on self, we're looking everywhere else. And the cross can't do nothing for us. There is no relief from sin, cleansing. But on the other hand, the sinner that comes, and he looks and he sees his need, he sees that only in Christ can he find forgiveness. Only in Christ can he find cleansing. Only in Christ can he find hope for victory and peace for the day. Those that come with that attitude, friends, they find relief. They find what they were looking for there in Christ. Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The supper provides a backward and a forward look. Backward look is to the cross in remembrance of me. The forward look is the promise that he has made to each and every one of us in Matthew. He says to us, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the wine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Can you imagine? He has spread the banquet table, the marriage supper of the Lamb. All is prepared. The only thing is missing is you and me. He's waiting, anxiously waiting for that day to rejoice and drink that cup with us again. Can you wait? Are you anxious? He's waiting, friends. The supper is a link between the cross and the kingdom, you see. See, the cross we look back to as we partake of these emblems. And it also points us to the coming kingdom and the marriage supper of the Lamb, something we have to look forward to. Both views are necessary, you see. Only as we see the past and the future can we find meaning for the present today. However, the backward view, looking back, is most important. All the glories of heaven eternal happiness, holiness of character are put before us today. Jesus says, he that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. He says, he that overcomes, will I give a new name. He that overcomes will take of the manna that I have for him. So we have to be what? Overcomers. So the cross provides hope and power to attain these things, you see. That's why we got to look back. Salvation involves two principles, life and growth. Both of them are important. You see, if I was to stand up here today and preach to you on Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, but I didn't tie in the fact that you can attain to that perfection through Christ and Christ alone. You can attain to that perfection as we look back at the beautiful promise. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have life eternal. If I don't tie that in, if I don't bring out the fact that in Romans 8:32 he says, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us, how many things? Do you remember? All things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. You see, it's together, life and growth. We can't demand character development from somebody dead in trespasses and sin. We can't demand maturity of character for someone that is not yet born again. We must lead them to Christ. We ourselves must experience it as well. The supper magnifies the provision of the cross. Jesus said to each and every one of us, this is my body, which is broken for you. I would like you to please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53, a familiar chapter with many of us. Isaiah chapter 53. And please follow with me. I'm going to start reading in verse 4. We're going to read about 8 verses here. Speaking of Christ, speaking to us today, surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, friends, is laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of you and me, of his people. And we did esteem him what? Stricken and afflicted of God. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to break him, to give him to you and me. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Christ, in the garden that night, in his struggle, friends, he was encouraged as he looked into the future. Yes, he's seen many, a nation that would reject him. One of his own disciples betray him. One deny him. All would forsake him. But yet he had a glimpse of the uncountable multitude that would one day stand in the presence of God because they said yes to all he had to offer. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Why? Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. Friends, For you and me, He did it all. The key word there, therefore. It's unbelievable when you think about it. The cross was a divine act, substituting the innocent for the guilty, the righteous for the unrighteous, Christ's body torn for us, His body bleeding for us. The Father took, He blessed His Son, friends. In these verses we see the Father took, He blessed His Son, He broke His Son, and He gave His Son to you and me. What will we do with the Son? It is the shedding of Christ's blood by which He satisfied the law's demand for death that brings to the penitent sinner forgiveness, peace, and assurance of heaven. Through the cross, Jesus removes condemnation from the repentant sinner as sins are forgiven. Can you imagine? You're standing before God just as you never sinned. What a wonderful hope. What a wonderful thought. At the cross, we receive peace. As we receive that forgiveness and meditate upon that very thought, justify, just as I never sinned. Through the cross, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And through the cross, He gives us the breastplate of righteousness, the armor of God to overcome the evil one. So I ask, friends, is partaking of the emblems important? Is it important? Yes. Because in 1 Corinthians 11:25 it says, this is the new covenant. It's absolutely important. It's essential. In partaking of the emblem, we partake of His provision, of His atonement. And we're to repeat this often so we don't forget, because we're prone to forget. As often as you eat this bread, He says. You see, we don't look just one time. We have to look continuously. It's by beholding that we become changed. In John 6:56, Jesus says this, He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. As we feed upon the Word of God daily, as we in communion and prayer enter into that relationship setting with God, we begin to grow, we begin to mature, and He begins to transform our lives. But let us not forget, He also calls us to service, to minister to others in His behalf. Friends, Calvary is to be our assurance and inspiration, not only at the commencement of our Christian walk, but at every step we take towards the promised kingdom. Listen, it is as the cross of Jesus assumes first place in your life and mine, in our affections, that we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Does He have your affections today, friends? Does He have your heart? Fully and completely, unreserved. He's calling for it. Today I know Jesus is here because He promised He would be here. And before we take part of these emblems, He's offering us forgiveness, cleansing, and healing of broken relationships. I want to encourage you, friends, if there's somebody here today, a brother or sister, that you know, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, you know that there's been contention. You know that there's been a little strife between you. Go to them. Make reconciliation. Ask God for the grace to make things right. That we don't partake of these emblems in an unworthy manner and bring condemnation to ourselves. Jesus is here to offer forgiveness and cleansing and healing. Perhaps the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and there's been a sin that you've clung to and you just don't seem to have the ability to give it up. Today He's offering you power to give that up. He's offering, friends. As I close with prayer, I encourage you to open your heart to God. Make things right with your Maker. Make things right with one another. And if the person isn't here that God is convicting you about, propose in your heart to contact that person afterwards or go visit them and talk to them. That we eat of this in a worthy manner to honor our Savior and all that He has done for us. It's sacred, friends, and often we forget the solemnity of it all. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank You for these emblems that represent the body and the blood of Your Son shed for us. Lord, You know our hearts. We've invited Your presence. Your Spirit is speaking to us. Give us the grace to surrender completely and fully to You. As we step away to wash one another's feet, Lord, reconcile relationships. Mend hearts. Bind us together as a body of believers, that as this community sees us laboring together in love, they are moved by the love we have towards one another. Lord, we can't do this without you. Fill us with your Spirit. Heal us and cleanse us and make us whole. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'd like to give everyone here opportunity to share. What is your experience? How do you feel when you know that you've been forgiven and you stand before God as a son or daughter, as if you've never sinned? Or any testimony that you'd like to share of how God has been working in your life. At this time, let us give praise and thanks to Him.
Whenever I think of what the Lord has done for us, I think of these two texts. Yeah, the second one of which Don Johnson and I were just reviewing as we had our service together. First one is this: if we confess our sin, He is faithful, He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The second is this one: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Whatever you do, don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll show you which way to go.
Anxious to see y'all.
I want to praise the Lord. You know, it is awesome to just meditate upon you're forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I stand before God as a son. You know, that love that sheds abroad in our heart, it compels us want to honor God's name, want to cease from sin, want to have the victory 100%. And that's the yearning in my heart, friends. You know, day after day, I pray God will strengthen that in my life. Because we want to honor Him.
Thank you for your praises. If you would bow your heads at this time, Dennis and I will kneel for our prayer. At times it is difficult, Father, just to ascertain how good you are to us. And we pray that we will have a fuller understanding, a grasp of that which has been done for us. To think of the magnitude each day of those things which you send our way in the form of blessings is almost too good to believe. We are so grateful. We pray that our lives will reflect our gratitude to you as we now begin the symbolic process here that you have set up for us on your behalf. Father, we ask that you would be with us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The scriptures tell us in Matthew 26:30, when Jesus had finished, they sang a hymn, and then they went out. In Psalms 117, we're told in the Desire of Ages, this is the hymn they sang. I'm just going to read the scripture here. "O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord." At this time, would like to invite you to please open your hymn to number 337. And we will stand and sing with hearts filled with gratitude and appreciation. "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." Amen. A blessed thought, child of God, child of the King. On our way out, we will have a collection for the poor, my friends. Let's remember them as well. Let's pray. Loving Father, we don't have the words to adequately praise you as the angels do for your devotion and commitment to us, for your faithfulness and the gift of your Son. But we offer what we do have, and we do thank you for the blessings that we have received, being redeemed by His blood, and your child forever to be. Father, continue to draw us ever closer to you, and bless this body of believers. Fill them with your Spirit, and lead us into your kingdom. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.